GSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Today's show is going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was about 20 years ago that I want to say comfortably numb was Pink Floyd that did that. Originally, I'm pretty sure it was Pink Floyd. anyway, about 20 years ago, the Scissor Sisters released their cover of Comfortably Numb. Now, I don't know if you remember, but I mean, maybe we're just showing our age here. I don't think we've been doing queer radio for 20 years, but when we first started out as three gays on the radio, back when there was a third of us, an additional third of us, there we go.
50% more than current.
Exactly. Yeah, I had to mash. My math wasn't mathing. But yeah, no, I remember because the new Scissor Sister album, was it Scissor Sisters that came out? And then you banned me from playing any of their tracks ever again. Because I, like every week, like clockwork, I would just go through the album and just play all different ones. Some of them got a couple of times. They played a couple of times.
And totally by chance, the Scissor Sisters and Mika were always off step by about a couple of weeks. So there'd be one of them would come out with a new album, and then the other one would come out with an album a couple of weeks later. So first you would overplay either the Scissor Sisters or Mika, and then you would overplay either Mika or the Scissor Sisters. But they both slowed down. Scissor Sisters retired in like, was it 2018 or something like that?
Yeah, Mika's
kind of still going.
Yeah, the frontman Jake Shear did some solo work and has done some other things. Did a song with Kylie Minogue, which is pretty cool. But yeah,
okay, absolutely. Everybody forgets Danny. I will stand by this. Danny Minogue is valid. She's a very good artist and she has some very good music. And I really wish we would stop forgetting her.
I don't know what it is about Australian families. There's the Hemsworths. There's the Minogues. Like, they just, you know, they seem to go as a pack almost.
Well, I think it's just Australia is on the other side of the planet, 12 time zones away, in the middle of an ocean, surrounded by nothing but Papua New Guinea and New Zealand. And Tasmania, which looks like a cute teddy bear if you look at a map of it. And I think it's just, if you can escape the orbit of Australia at all, you get far flung out into the universe, kind of like, I don't know, a satellite looping around Jupiter so it can pass the space barrier and go back in time. Sorry, that was a Star Trek reference.
So,
I got 3 hours sleep last night, and I am a mixture of whimsical.
We can tell.
And
we can tell. All right. So today's show is going to feature a bit more music on account of Sebastian's lack of sleep, but also as a bit of a celebration of that sort of early 2000s queer folks in the music scene. So just to give you an idea of what we have coming up in our first music break in just a few moments, we have Filthy Gorgeous by Scissor Sisters. This is probably the most mainstream of the songs that we have lined up for today, but I wanted to just remind people of why Scissor Sisters were a cultural phenomena in the early 2000s. Following that up with Lollipop by Mika, quintessential Mika, and then we're rounding that up with some Black and Gold by Sam. Sorry, no, we're rounding that out with the Spaceman remix by Biff Naked.
Biff Naked, right, yes.
Absolutely.
The one that goes, doo-doo-doo. There was a ton of music in the...
Yeah.
If you hear that little doo-doo-doo, you can hear that also in Angel by... Oh, what was his name? There's a song called Angel, and then there was also...
That's not the one with Shaggy, is it? So we have lots of tracks lined up later today. Now, before we get into it... I'm not going to dive into this in too much detail because, frankly, it's It's a lot. There was the three-day policy convention of the Conservative Party of Canada. I'm sure every Tom, Dick, and Harry has been talking about the policy convention of the Conservative Party of Canada, which happened recently in Quebec City. What's worth noting is they had about 66% of those gathered in the room, 69% of those gathered in the room approved a policy motion that would, under a government, a conservative government, would then prohibit, quote, life-altering medical, medicinal or surgical interventions for those who are under 18. They also went on and pushed for a second policy that would essentially designate sex-specific spaces. Now, the reason why I'm not, you know, not going to dive into too much, there's definitely a lot of backlash. Actually, Nick Nanos of the Nanos Survey Group really pointed out this really well. You know, some of the concern from the queer community is, you know, first of all, less than 1% of Canadians are actually trans. Like, this is a tiny percentage of people. But Nick Nanos really pointed out in a great article on the CBC about this, that only about 37% of people need to agree, or rather 37% of Canadians, so about four out of five people who physically get up and go and vote, need to vote for the Conservatives for these policies to potentially come to fruition. That being said, it's certainly concerning. It's certainly going to be a bit of a debate. But Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Canadian Conservative Party, has said that he's not going to be beholden to any of these policies. So really kind of just not touching it with a 10-foot barge pole. He didn't make any kind of media appearance after these policies were passed, very much scurried away. And a lot of folks have already said, look, you're just giving the Liberals ammunition for when the next election comes up. Also, the next election could be up to a couple of years away. A whole world of things could happen between now and then. He's not bound by the policies. How they would be even legal under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And, you know, there are so many elements. Also, these sort of touch on provincial jurisdiction and not federal jurisdiction. Like, there's a million things where it's like, oh, that's a big story. But in reality, it's so far away and so hypothetical and theoretical and so on and so forth. There's a concern. But is there a panic? No.
Yeah, and this relates to the general relationship between party leaders and the parties and the party membership. And this is not just the Conservative Party. This is all the parties. We happen to know an insider who had all the backroom gossip on the Green Party, if you know who I'm talking about. The fact of the matter is that quite often what will happen is a party's membership will come together, vote on policy, and then the leader kind of has to represent it, whether they agree with it or not. So sometimes leaders do just disappear into the woodwork because they're like, I don't want to comment on this thing because I don't get it. One of the issues that they ran into at the Green Party is quite often the membership would vote something in or out where the leadership had spent quite a bit of time consulting with experts. And they're like, these policies are down. These policies are not going to work. Like, it is our official policy. It is our official platform that we're going to endorse these things. But the leader is just like, I'm just going to forget to mention that during all the debates because we know that this is not necessarily a good idea. And this is across all the parties. They all do this. And it's just part of doing politics, whether it's good or bad, because there are times where they kind of skirt around or gloss over the will of the membership. For good reasons and sometimes for dumb reasons. It's a big mix. And again, this is all the parties. So I don't really hold this against Poilievre per se. The choices that he makes about what he is willing to endorse and skirt around, that is on him. But like if the party comes up with certain policies, that's on the party. That's not really what the leader does with that is up to them. But the policies are up to the party.
Well, I think Poilievre's goal is to get elected.
Yes, like, yes.
That is true. And, you know, if we cast our mind back to the previous Conservative policy conventions, you know, the membership were very anti-environment. And they were so far out of step with Canadians as a majority that they'd never have got elected. if they'd have followed through on those policies. And same thing, the abortion debate, you know, the social conservative active branch of the Conservative Party.
Yeah.
And every, you know, other Canadians across the, you know, all the other ridings, they you know, the math is a mathing. They don't add up. They're not necessarily indicative of Canadians as a whole.
Or of conservatism as a whole, because the Conservative Party, as many people are aware, is actually kind of a hodgepodge of different kinds of conservatism that could never survive in their own party. So you've got your progressive, socially progressive, fiscally conservative conservatives. You've got your classical conservatives. You've got your religious conservatives. You've got your libertarians. You got all kinds of different conservatives, all sort of smushed together. You're kind of classical British conservative, which is actually quite progressive on certain issues. Like it's a smush. It's all the different varieties of conservative smushed together. And sometimes you see weird policies that seem to contradict themselves. And it's just because the libertarians all showed up that day to vote and everybody else didn't care about an issue. And there's some other issue where all the religious conservatives showed up to vote and everybody else was indifferent. Like the Conservative Party is just, it's a colorful mosaic of weirdness that's just all the usual political issues in Canada multiplied by 10 because of its structure.
Yeah. I also find that sometimes that there must be some cognitive dissonance happening in the Conservative Party as well. You know, they passed a motion on bodily autonomy and not being forced to do vaccines, but also want to ban people from taking medical care. it's like it doesn't make sense. It reminds me of another story that shot up in the UK. Somebody found this sticker of it was a picture of a boot, and it was like a rainbow colored boot, and it was stomping on the word woman. And the anti-trans women activists were like, this is classic pro-trans propaganda, stomping on the definition of woman. Outrage, awful, terrible, terrible sticker. Turns out it was actually made, manufactured, and sold by an anti-trans women's rights group. So there were no trans people involved anywhere with this sticker. It was an anti-trans women's group that made the sticker, and an anti-trans women's group that was outraged by the sticker. Really, it's that perfect example of that sort of cognitive dissonance and that outrage that tends to...
I prefer to think of it, I heard this term recently and I absolutely love it, a political Rorschach test, which is just an ambiguous symbol where everybody looks at it and they're either offended by it for their own reasons and they're like, that other person did this for offensive reasons, even though absolutely not, that's not the intended purpose, or yes, that is literally me, and every single person says yes, that is literally me for completely different reasons. So I mean, ambiguous symbols, you get ambiguous readings, and everyone's going to read it in whatever way either benefits them or works against themselves in some way or another. And there's a lot of ambiguous symbols out there, and not even just ambiguous symbols, just people who say things that, like kafefe, you know.
I say kafefe. You know what? I realize it was coined by the Trump, but it's a great word.
I'm all convinced that he was on the toilet and he was typing something unrelated and then sneezed and accidentally hit send. I think it was just, and he just owned it, like, yeah, I did that, whatever. Whatever. Yeah.
You mean you don't drink kofefe? Anyway, we're jumping now to Filthy Gorgeous by the Scissor Sisters. Following that is Lollipop by Mika. And then we are jumping to Black and Gold. No, we're not. It's the second time now I've done that mistake. We're jumping to Spaceman Remix by Dish Naked. And we will be back just after this. Walking down the street and a man tries to get your business.
my mama one day when she warned me what people say. Live your life until love is found, 'cause love's gonna get you down. Take a look at the girl next door, she's a player and a downright bore. Jesus loves her, she wants more. If she loves you, let her go, 'cause love only gets you down. Take a look at a boy like me, never stood on my own two feet. Now I'm blue as I can be. Told me what I should know. Too much candy gonna rot your soul. If she loves you, let her go, 'cause love only gets you down. From this calling.
welcome back to Cangri, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
And that was Spaceman by Biff Naked. One of my favorite Biff Naked songs, other than Lesbians in the Forest. Fantastic track. I do love Lesbians in the Forest. both literally and as a song. Now, I wanted to ask you, do you know what an autosexual is?
I'm assuming that's somebody who either prefers self-love or who enjoys sex, but not really enough to actually interact with other people.
I mean, something I'm kind of like disappointed you didn't think it was about automobiles, but yeah, you've nailed it. It is someone who is mostly sexually attracted to themselves. That, along with polysexual. Now, for those who don't know what polysexual is, okay, it is like pansexual, but not as laissez-faire. You know, so you are attracted to some of the genders, but maybe not that one, and maybe not that one, as opposed to pansexual, which is like a buffet, and you're just anything's a go. Polysexuals are more like, oh, you know, everything with a little asterisk is a go. That and gay marry just got added to dictionary.com.
Okay.
Yeah, so they are in dictionary.com, polysexual, autosexual, and gay marry, along with other words like nepo baby and chatbot. But I feel like folks know what a chatbot
the
is.
The weird thing about gay marry is that I've rarely texted the things I hear with that term.
So yeah, they are among the new words that have been added to dictionary.com. As things continue to develop. I forgot a Canadian story earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We normally kick it off with some Canadian stories. And that is that Lil Nas X, I mean, it sounds more dramatic than I think it was. There was a quote, what's the word I'm looking for here? A bomb scare at the Toronto International Film Festival for the documentary of Lil Nas X.
Okay.
What really happened? I mean, I'm not going to minimize what it was, but what essentially happened is somebody in the crowd was making threats, including, you know, threats to blow them up, to the private security at TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival. They then told the Toronto police. They then swept the building, took about 20 minutes with their dogs, and, you know, and then they were like, no, the guy is just, you know, a crackpot who has strong opinions.
Beans.
Sorry?
Full of beans.
Full of beans. So, yeah, it was about 20 minutes, and then Lil Nas X was able to walk down the walkway. But, yeah, for a brief moment, a bomb scare that was taken very seriously by Toronto police services, and the security at TIFF did lead to a bit of a delay. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is we have been keeping an eye on the Grindr story. Now, there's a bit of an update there. Did you see the update on the Grindr story?
I saw the update and I skimmed over it because in my mind I was like, this is more of a labor rights story than it is a queer news story. But I do know that they had a walkout based on labor disputes because they had to go back to work in the office at least 2 days a week. That's what I read.
Well, it's not just that. They hired a whole bunch of people. They had a previous office that they effectively just shut down and closed. They then bought new offices in different states, in different cities.
Okay.
And gave them 2 months to move there, to go and live, you know, where these offices are. Yeah, so apparently 82 out of the 178 staff have walked out from this ultimatum. Apparently a whole lot of them were like, no. I mean, I get it. If you were in an office The office was closed. Maybe it was a bit hybrid. And they're like, come on now, guys, come back, come back. But that wasn't it. That wasn't it. It was like, it was state lines. It was a huge move. It was an ultimatum. It was widely seen as an effort to break up the unionization efforts that were underway.